Wow, what a great time of worship. Amen? Man, I'm pumped about being at church today. How about you? We're in part three of a series we're calling Jesus. Simple enough, right? Part one was this: who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He's God's son. He's the exact representation of God. He came to the earth to redeem mankind, to do what we could not do for ourselves. He came and made himself a perfect sacrifice. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness available. And so Jesus, as it says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ shed his blood once for all time. No longer is a sacrifice needed. So Jesus is God, and he came and did what only God could do for us. He took away our sins by shedding his blood upon the cross. And then the second week was this: what has he accomplished? Well, Jesus, by dying on the cross, by living a perfect life, dying upon the cross, taking our sins upon him, going to the grave, staying in there, and on the third day, rising from the dead. Jesus accomplished this incredible thing of defeating sin, so sin no longer has a hold or a bondage upon us. He defeated death. Death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? For those who are in Christ, when we come to the end of this life, we don't die, we just change addresses. Amen? And that's the good news, that death has been defeated. Sin has been defeated. And Satan has been defeated. He no longer has authority over us when we are in Christ. Now today, what does all this mean to me? Well, here's the big idea for today, church. I have a new nature that puts me on a mission. I have a new nature, and it puts me on mission today. So we're going to dive into this truth today. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So you and I who have faith in Jesus Christ today, we're a new creation. The old is gone. Now, for so many believers today, the past still defines you. I want you to understand the scripture is true today. Your past is done away with. Even as far as 2 seconds ago, it's over. The past is behind you. You're a new creation in Christ. Do not let your past define you. Let who you are in Christ and the future destiny that he has for your life be the defining thoughts and purpose of who you are. Colossians says it this way, chapter 2, verse 13, when you were spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were not free from the power of your sinful self, God made you alive with Christ and forgave all of our sins. Now that's good news. That's the good news. Encapsulated in three verses right here. When we were dead in sin, God made us alive together with Christ and forgave us all of our sins. We're no longer dead in sin. We're alive in Christ today. So we have received all of these things. We have this big Bible word called salvation. What does that mean? You were saved. It's just the process of being saved, right? Saved from what? Saved from sin, saved from death, saved from hell, saved from punishment. Tonight, there's going to be almost 30 people who are making public professions of the fact that they got saved. It's going to be amazing. I hope you don't miss the party tonight here at Harvest Christian Fellowship. It's going to be awesome. I don't know what your experience with baptism has been like in the past, but it's probably not what you're going to experience tonight. This is a party. Okay, so didn't mean to make an advertisement. It's just in my heart. Hope you'll be here, because for those people who have just made Jesus their Lord and Savior, what a powerful thing it is for the body of Christ, the believers, to surround them and encourage them. So, salvation. We've received the free gift, as it says in Romans, the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. We've confessed that Jesus is our Lord and Master. We've believed in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says in Romans 10:9, when that happens, that simple thing of confessing him as Lord, believing that he raised from the dead for me, that does this: I will be saved. It's simple. Little children can understand this message. Old people can understand this message. Teenagers can understand. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in. The gospel is simple because Jesus wants you to know that you had a debt that you could not pay. And he had a debt he didn't owe, but he paid it anyway for you and me and everyone who would come. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, that anyone who would come and call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when we receive Jesus, then we have a new nature. It puts us on mission because, see, salvation, yes, it's about me. It's about what I receive, but it's not just about me. This new nature inside of me all of a sudden starts causing me to see others differently. It causes me to have a passion to share this great love, this great forgiveness, this great salvation with everyone I come in contact with. Philippians 2 says it this way in verse 12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you. Check it out right here. Both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, what is God working in you for? To accomplish your agenda? To give you what you want? No. And you're like, oh, ooh, but I came to get what I wanted. Well, yes, you get your forgiveness and you get a new lease on life and you get a promise of a future in heaven with God. You get eternal life that starts now. But guess what? We're not here just to accomplish what we want. Right here it is, church. And if we don't catch this, we miss the whole purpose that Jesus came to the earth. God wanted to get back in touch with humanity. And he came through Jesus. And Jesus did what he did perfectly. But guess what? For all who call on the name of the Lord and are saved, then the Bible clearly says, we're going to read the verse in just a minute, then the Spirit of God dwells inside of those who believe. And so when Jesus was on the earth, check this out, he could only be in one place at a time. If he was in Jerusalem, we all needed to catch a plane and go to Jerusalem. If he was in New York, we all needed to hightail it to New York so we could be in the presence of Jesus. But now he's present wherever there's a believer. Jesus did something amazing. He went exponential. He went crazy. Are y'all too religious to appreciate that? Okay. Let me say something very, very. Jesus then multiplied his ability to influence the world. Does that feel better? Okay. Come on, man. This is exciting stuff. This is real stuff. This isn't like some kind of pious, stuffy, cold religion. This is Jesus alive in us. And God is working in us to do his will and his good pleasure, not mine. Let's look at this. God loves you and he saved you. And that, of course, is huge. And it's a benefit to me. God wants to bless his children, but here's what the Father understands. When my children mature and go to work with me, they have a whole different sense of fulfillment in life. Now, don't you understand that naturally? I have some kids at home. How many of you ever had some kids? They receive they receive, they're given to, they're blessed, they're taken care of. But there comes a day set by the Father where he says, son, daughter, it's time to go to work. And what every child will find out as they grow up and mature, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, some of us still say, are you sure about that? Because that receiving is pretty stinking good. Well, you're still going to receive. Here's what you're going to find out. When you give, God always replenishes what you give away. And he doesn't just replenish. He gives you more than enough, and it overflows into abundance. One of the names of God is El Shaddai in the Hebrew. And what that means is the God of more than enough. When you learn to give it away, you begin to overflow with more than enough. So the point isn't that God wanted to get a band of slaves on the earth so he could do what he wanted done. No, he wanted sons and daughters to join him in the ultimate purpose to redeem mankind. Listen, church, you know this. I've talked about it. I'm going to give you statistics in a minute. There are thousands of people right here in Plainview, Texas, Hale County, and beyond who do not know Christ. The mission and purpose of the church is not to come in these walls and consume this blessing upon ourselves only. It is to take it, to receive it, to be blessed, and then to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and make disciples. This is our mission. And as you grow and mature in your faith, the most fulfilling thing you will do is share your faith with others. See, this salvation is huge and beautiful and personal and a blessing, but it's not all about us. Not all about the blessings we receive, although the blessings are innumerable. I cannot count my many blessings. I lose count because the blessings of God for his children are so many. But look at this, church. We are blessed to be a blessing. Could you say that with me? It should be on the screen, possibly. Maybe not. Just repeat after me. We are blessed to be a blessing. We're not going to let technology ruin our service, are we? Come on. Hey, we got Jesus on the wall. That's all we need. Okay, come on. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 says this, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Do you see how we're making the transition from what I receive to what I can give? Let's look at this verse and break it down. Of course, this verse in verse 20 says, glorify God in your body. Of course, that means live right. Do the right thing. Obey the scriptures. Live a moral life. But a huge part of glorifying God in your body is when you allow the Holy Spirit to take your focus and put you on mission with God. That begins to bring ultimate glory to God that I don't just receive as a little child. What does it say? When we're first born, we're like babes in Christ, born again, born from above. I'm a brand new believer. I need to be fed. I need to receive. But as I grow, just like naturally, spiritually now, I need to give. So I receive, so I can give. Now, if the Holy Spirit lives in me, and the Spirit of God wants to put me on mission with Christ, we need to understand what Christ's mission was. And in Luke 19:10, it becomes so clear. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now let's put it in the New Century Version because it makes it even more plain. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to find lost people and save them. So what does it mean to be lost? It means to be separated from God. It means to be separated from the free gift of eternal life. It means to be apart from the peace, the joy, the righteousness, the love that God gives. That's lost. So God sent Jesus to find those who were lost, who were separated from him because of sin. And he went to find them and save them. Now, if we are going to get on mission with Christ, with the Holy Spirit of God putting us on the mission that Jesus came to initiate and proliferate, what are we going to do? We're going to be looking for lost people and seeing if we can get them saved. Now, do I do the saving? No. I'm like a road sign that says one way. One way, Jesus. One way, Jesus. One way. That's what I am. I'm a good-looking road sign. How about you? I don't save anybody, but I point them in the right direction. All of us have the same job. Shine it up a little bit, make it look good, but you're just a good pointer. Point people to Jesus. It's not complicated. But if we're self-indulged, if we're in what we used to call the Naval Academy, not talking about ships, talking about staring at my navel. What does that mean? I'm self-consumed. All I can do is look at me and what's going on with me and what pain do I have and what needs do I have? I'm depressed. Well, quit looking at yourself. I'd be depressed if I was looking at you all day long too. But I'm never depressed or disappointed when I put my focus on Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of my faith. The Bible clearly says that when we put our hope in the Lord, we will never be disappointed. See, I'm not a very good counselor because that's all I know to tell people who are depressed. Quit looking at yourself. And look at Jesus. Now, I know there's skillful people who know better things to say than that, but that's what works for me. I've told y'all this story 100 times. My wife tells me when she was growing up, her mom had a technique of child training. When they come in complaining about how everybody's taking advantage of them, abusing them, been mean to them, she would make them go to the kitchen and bake cookies and go give them to somebody. Because what are we going to do? We're going to quit thinking about me and how I've been a victim of this poor life. Guess what? Everybody has been. But let's go help somebody else today, church. You know what happens when you go help somebody else? It puts a smile on your face. It is a lift spiritually, emotionally. Come on, we need to learn to look at others and help them. Put our focus on Jesus and then help others come to that same place of Jesus as the center. So that's what Jesus is about, and that's what we're going to be about if we're really believers today who have matured in our faith. We're going to be reaching people who are separated from God. We're going to be connecting people to the life that only Christ can give right here in our city, right here in our area. Because I have a new nature and it puts me on mission, I will join with Christ in his mission of finding lost people and bringing them to salvation. Can you get on board with that, church? Yeah. Will it take some focus? Will it take some maybe even rearranging of priorities? Yeah. But it'll be the best decision you've ever made to stop only thinking about yourself and to join Jesus in seeking to find lost people. And say, many times people think we have to go to a foreign country to be on a mission. Have you ever heard that? When you say a missionary, what do you think? Someone who went to a nation that's not here, right? Somewhere else. But you don't have to go anywhere else to do mission work. The mission field is right outside your front door, right down the street from you, right here in our own community in West Texas, Hale County, Floyd County, Lamb County, Lubbock County, Crosby, Hockley, Swisher, Randall, Potter. Are there people who need Jesus here? Then get on mission and find them. Well, I'm just thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch today. What if Jesus has a different idea? Now, he'll let you eat lunch and share your faith. But come on. We just tend to be very self-centered, especially in Western culture. Do you know in Hale County alone, there's at least 20,000 people who don't know Jesus right here, right now? Let me show you some statistics. Approximately 30,000 people in Hale County. A generous estimate would say that 10,000 of those people actually are saved and active in church today. So what does that leave? Simple math, 20,000 people. We don't need to go to Africa. We need to step outside our front door and say, Jesus, who can I reach today? Who are you wanting me to bless today? What do you want me to do today? Who is going to cross my path that I can be a blessing to today? Look, we have a bold vision. You know, people always go, what's wrong with you people? Y'all are just crazy egomaniacs. You know, you think you're going to have a church of 3,000 and a town of 22,000? Yeah. Because we want to reach 10% of our population. Because we want to have a big church? No. Because we want people to know Jesus. And I pray almost every day that at least 9 other churches in Hale County would get the same vision. And if they don't, we're going to blow up this building and get a bigger one. Why? Because there are thousands of people right here in our own backyard that need Jesus. So I've got a new nature now. It's all a blessing to me, but that new nature puts me on mission, and now I become a productive member of the family business. What's the family business? Seek and save those who are lost. So I have a question for you. Will you join me on the mission to reach people right here at home in West Texas? Amen. I see a few eyes. The eyes have it. Okay. Harvest Christian Fellowship is a missional church. From our inception, we've wanted to reach people who were lost. We haven't just wanted to make a place where if you get tired of this church, come try ours. Now, that's fine if that's what happened to me too. But that's not the goal. The goal isn't for church reshuffle the deck every year. Well, I got tired of this church, so I went to that church. And I'm going to stay there for about 6 months till I get mad at them too. That's not what we're about. We're about finding people who've never met Jesus ever and sharing this incredible love with them. That's why Harvest exists. Do you realize? You may have forgotten. That's what our name means. Harvest. It's when you bring in. I thought y'all would like that. Bunch of farmers, come on. How can we most effectively expand God's kingdom right here, right now? Well, lots of people don't want to answer that question because that might mean you have to reprioritize your life. But it's worth it. What exactly has Jesus assigned to us as a church in this city, in this region? Here's the key question. How does Jesus want me to help serve his mission in our culture through my church? Each of us need to understand and accept our role. Not everybody's going to be the preacher. Not everybody's going to be the worship leader. Not everybody's going to work in Kid City. But there's a place for you in and through this church to serve this community. On your job, pray for people. On your job, smile at people. That might be a real transforming deal for you. To be happy at work? You know, okay. See, it's not that hard, is it? Let's finish here. 2 Corinthians 5, where we started, it continues. He tells us we're a new creature, and then he gives us our mission. If you'll stick with me, you'll see it right here. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Verse 18, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, catch it right here, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is our job, to take people who are separated from God, who are lost, and help them find a connection with God. Verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, their sins against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Would you stand with me? As we get ready to conclude this time together, to me, this is the big question. Number one, are you a believer in Christ? Have you met him? Are you saved? And then for all of you who go, yes, yes, I'm saved, then here's the real question for you. Can you feel God calling you to reach this world with the love of Jesus? Is this your day? Is this your moment? Can you respond in faith and believe that God could take just a normal old West Texas boy like me or gal like you and use me to impact thousands and thousands of people through my love, through my service, through my heart of compassion? Could God use people like us? Of course. You're not his second choice. You're plan A. You're God's chosen vessel to bring the good news to the world. And the world is right outside your front door. Can you feel the Spirit of God calling you, moving you to love others? You know, like I said, maybe for the first time today, you need to be reconciled to God. You're sitting here going, I've heard this stuff, I've been around it, but today is different. I feel and I sense God calling me to salvation. Then you come in just a minute and let someone pray with you. And then believers in this room, can you feel God calling you to be on mission, to seek and to save those who are lost? Would you pray with me? Prayer team, please assemble. God, our hearts are burning with passion. As you said to Jeremiah and he responded to you, it's like fire shut up in my bones. I cannot contain the passion that Jesus has put in my heart and in my life. Lord, would you release that fire upon us today? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, fan it into flame, God. God, we bow before you in this moment and reverence you as our King. Say, Lord, I have no other reason for my feet to be on this planet than to share the love of Jesus with the world. Mobilize us, God. Move us beyond ourselves, Lord. And give us the joy of bringing others to Christ today. In Jesus' name I pray. As we sing this song, I invite you to come. Maybe for the first time, surrender your life to Jesus. And then a whole bunch of believers, come and let someone pray with you. Pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would consume you today and set you on fire with passion.